Part 18, Chapter 6. Debacle. Cutting in through the chatter of cyclos in the convoy, but clearly heard because of its high pitch, the piping voice of Bitty said,
"There's nobody left here speaks Russian! Sir Johnny, there's nobody that ever Russians anything!"
"What's happened?"
barked Johnny.
"Sir Johnny, the tank shots wiped out the command post here! Sir Robert and Colonel Ivan and the coordinators are knocked out! I was under a tarpaulin fire! I would have told you sooner, but..."
A wail.
"I couldn't find my radio!"
Then static, and a babble of cyclo voices on the same wavelength. Johnny swung the flying platform north of the ravine and behind it, using it for protection. Below, in the ravine, the jammed convoy clogged the road. It couldn't turn. It couldn't escape. But neither could they fire into all that ammunition and fuel and breathe gas without blowing the whole thing a mile high. There were only a few shots being fired down by the Russian soldiers. Only three of them were on the crest. The cyclos must have thought the crest was not held. There was a battery of commands on the mine radio. Suddenly, the cyclos unloaded from their vehicles, grabbing blast rifles. They lined up along the bottom of the slope, breathe gas masks in place. More cyclo commands. The line of huge bodies surged forward all along the slope bottom. It was 400 yards or more, very steep yards, up to the crest. They were going to storm the crest. But no real disaster yet. Dunaldine was in place, up in the sky. It was very obvious that all he had to do was wait for those cyclos to get halfway up that slope, and then set his guns on stun and knock them flat and unconscious. Then, Bitty's voice again.
"The Russians don't understand. They're rushing up to the crest!"
Johnny lifted the platform a little higher to see. Bitty himself seemed confused. There was nothing wrong with the Russians manning that long top of the ravine's left side. In fact, they'd better. Yes, the reserve group of about 30 Russians was sprinting from in back of the crest, their assault rifles ready. The upcoming line of cyclos was about 100 yards up now and still had 300 yards of very steep slope to climb. In just a few moments now, when those cyclos were far enough up from their trucks, Dunaldine could make a pass with guns and stun them flat. Bitty's voice.
"These Russians are awful mad about Colonel Ivan. They think he's dead. They're not listening."
Johnny slammed the flying platform down behind the Russians and jumped off. He started toward the cliff. The Russians had reached it. Several were firing down at the cyclos.
"Hold up!"
Johnny yelled at them.
"That plane will knock them down!"
Not one Russian face turned in his direction. He looked wildly about for one of their officers. He saw one, but the man was yelling something down the slope at the cyclos and firing a pistol at them. The officer roared something at his men. They rose up. Good Lord, they were going to charge! Before Dunaldine could make his firing pass, the downslope was loaded with charging, shouting Russians. They were angry, berserk. They stopped, fired, ran, stopped, fired. The slope was a roaring sheet of flame going both up and down. Cyclones tried to stem this avalanche of ferocity. Assault rifles were hammering and flaming. Blast guns were roaring. Dunaldine, unable to shoot without killing Russians, hung helplessly in despair. One pass and those cyclos would be knocked into unconsciousness. The Russians were in among the cyclos, firing ceaselessly. The remaining cyclos tried to run back to their vehicles. The Russians were right on top of them. Huge bodies went tumbling down the slope. Isolated groups tried to stand their ground. Assault rifles racketed into solid sheets of sound. Then one last cyclo almost made it to the cab of a truck. A Russian knelt, sighted, and cut him in two. A cheer went up from the Russians. The slope went quiet.